We are actually going to be starting in Isaiah 32 and verse 1. We're going to be looking today at the attributes of the kingdom of God, what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. We have some neat teachings about that in the scriptures. And so I'm excited. I had such a great time studying on Friday, just looking at these things. It was just so fun. And I hope it's fun for you to just go through these scriptures today together with us. It's just a wonderful blessing to see what Jesus is has for us in the future. Now, we don't know everything about that, but we sure get glimpses from the things that he has to say. Now, I want to talk about four things today, and the first one is found in chapter 32 and verse 1. And it actually is the verse we had last week, and it's just letting us know that we will have duties in heaven, duties in the kingdom. Now it says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness." And of course, that's the Lord Jesus. He will come and reign in righteousness. I love the verse in Romans 14:17. It says, "The kingdom of God is righteousness, number one, and peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost," those three things. And so we're going to have this wonderful king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, ruling in righteousness. So there it is. Now, and it says after that in verse 1 of 32, "And princes shall rule." Now, last week we looked at that in a deep way. We looked at New Testament scriptures about that. It actually says that if we suffer with him here, we shall also reign with him. And so he's going to actually use us, Christians, as to help administrate his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years, the Bible says, and then after that, making a new heaven and a new earth. "And so, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." Now, what that government is going to be like is really, I love the way it's put in verse 2. It says, "A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind." In some translations, it actually just says Jesus will be like a hiding place from the wind. And he certainly will. And he'll be using us as his arms and legs, the body of Christ, to help administrate that kingdom as the princes and princesses. And so that a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. That's how it will feel to the people that are upon the world in the time of the reign of Christ. That they can come to the government and feel like the government is a hiding place from the wind. Now, all of us have seen the hurricanes on TV and the brave newscasters that stand out in the hurricane when everybody else is gone and their hair's blowing sideways. And I don't know if you saw that piece that I happened to see once where this giant tin thing just whipped by the guy's head. And I'm thinking, man, get out of the wind. Do your broadcasts. It's behind something, you know. And so it is a wonderful thing to find a hiding place from the wind. And that's what it will be like as part of the government of Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior will be like a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, the storms of life, the things that come up with people living normal lives can feel and will feel the government is really on their side. Unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He's going to shoulder the government of the whole planet and us helping him. "And as the rivers of water in a dry place." Oh, how great it is to finally come to the Colorado River, isn't it? When you go out to the river and you're going through all of that dry, parched land, you know, just picturing somebody alongside the road crawling, saying, "Water, water." But you finally get to the Colorado River and all of that green, that follows the river down through the valley, and the beauty of that. So like rivers of water in a dry place, that's how the government's going to be through the Lord Jesus. And as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land on a hot day, and you find a big rock to get some shade under. And so that is kind of the spirit of what the government will feel like in heaven and on earth as Jesus Christ reigns and is in his kingdom. Now let's go ahead down to verse 15. It picks up on this subject again. It says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from high. That is, the times will be rough on the world until the Spirit of God pours upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment or justice shall dwell even in the wilderness, it says here. So every nook, every cranny of the planet will be administrated by the government of Jesus. And every single place will have the justice and the beauty of the ruling of Jesus Christ, and his administrators shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. So the world becoming like a fruitful field, and righteousness reigning and being empowered there. Now, the result of this, verse 17, says this, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. There'll be peace through the whole world. We're going to pound our instruments of war into plowshares and into instruments of production, and there'll be great peace. Now, it's so blessed that, you know, Jesus Christ said the kingdom of God is at hand when he came. He was saying, you know, I am coming, and I am the kingdom of God. And all that he did and said was to show us how it will be. And he said to us when he left this earth, he says, peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, I give it to you. And so he was the instrument of God. He is God. And he gave that peace and left it with us as Christians, as we've looked to him in our different difficulties in this life. And we will have difficulties, won't we? Yes, we do. But that day's a-coming when he will rule and he will reign without interruption and with the administration of his kingdom. And the result of that will be the work of righteousness shall be peace. Glorious, awesome peace like a river throughout the whole world. Every nook, every cranny, even in the wilderness. And the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance. You'll just be assured in your heart that you're really home. You know, my son, before he passed away, about 4 months before he passed away, had a vision from the Lord. And he got to come here and share it from this pulpit with us about 4 months before he passed away. But, you know, in that vision, the thing that ministered to me the most is he said, Dad, I was home. He saw my mother, who is there, and my dad, who is there. And he had never seen them together because they divorced when I was 2.5. And they were laughing their guts out. They were just having a glorious time of laughing. And John began to laugh with them in this vision he was having of heaven. And so he said, Dad, it was like I was home. I was really home. I was home like I've never felt. It's just, you're so comfortable. It's like you're wrapped in joy. You're just wrapped in joy. And I tell you, when he passed away, some of me was jealous, you know. Thinking I wasn't going to, you know? Well, that day will come, because one out of every one of us is going to die, right? And we're going home. Yeah, yahoo. Mountain Dew. Anyway, so quietness and assurance. Now that reminds me of that wonderful verse that we had a couple of weeks ago. It's back in Isaiah 30, verse 15. Just turn back there for a minute, because this verse is so lovely. It says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." And so we will be continually strong, just completely blessed in a deeply spiritual way with great strength in the Lord, because we will have that quietness and assurance, as we just read in 32, that quietness and assurance and confidence. Praise the Lord. So there it is. Now, and then it says in verse 18, "And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitation." So there's that word peace again. "They shall dwell in peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings." This jumped out at me on Friday. I thought, yes, there's no danger of losing your home when once you're with the Lord. Isn't that awesome? The way it's put in the Old Testament is, "Every man will be under his vine and his fig tree." And we will have our location, and the bank will never kick us out. Praise God. You know, so many of us in the congregation, I'm sorry to say, lost their homes. And when the 2007 economic crisis hit, so many lost their homes. And some of it was kind of underhanded. And folks were tempted to go to court with these things because it was just so, there's so many different things that happened. Of course, you know, a lot of it was just not having the money, but some of it was underhanded because we live in a perverse world and everyone's out for themselves. And so, but you know, in heaven, we'll have sure dwellings, absolutely sure. What is yours is yours. God gave it to you. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a particular place just for you." And so we read about the sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. You know how most people say, you know, "I'm looking for a quiet neighborhood." I'm looking for a quiet place to live. The scripture actually says in Proverbs, "Don't disturb a man's resting place." A man needs a place to really rest and have quietness. And that will be provided by the Lord Jesus in the wonderful place that he prepares for you. And you know what? I am convinced that he knows your deepest desires. He says, you know, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." I think that the house you always dreamed of will probably be sitting right there for you, because God knows each one of us so personally, and he knows what I want. I've told him many times. I want a redwood deck overlooking a body of water, and I want pine trees on the beach, and I want the deers to come by and say hello to me. Oh yeah. Well, we'll see. Anyway, in sure dwellings and quiet resting places, when it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are you that sow or plant beside all waters. There'll be so much water provided, and any water that you're by, and you're sowing your crops, that send forth there the feet of the ox and the donkey. And there you go. There's going to be some animals in heaven. I like that idea so much. And I really believe we'll be able to communicate with them. There's a scripture in Revelation that talks about how the animals will say, "Blessing and glory be to him that sits on the throne." And so it actually says that in Revelation 5 at the end of the chapter. And so I believe the animals will be able to communicate with us. And that's going to be great fun. So there it is. This is the government that will be upon his shoulder, and how we'll be governed, and it will bring forth righteousness and peace, quietness and assurance, and sure dwellings for each one. Let's go on to the next idea, and that idea is that there'll be no aging in heaven or during the kingdom. There's just no aging going on. Oh man, that sounds great to me. Doesn't that sound good to you? I couldn't believe I was playing football with my grandkids and I just fell down. I was always so good at making cuts. You know, they would think you're going this way and I'd go the other way. You know, it's just whoop, boom, bam, I'm gone. And just all of a sudden, I just stopped. My body stopped and I'm laying on the ground and they're all coming over to me, you know, like I'm an old man or something. Really was ticking me off. But the aging process will not be in heaven. In fact, we'll be experiencing perfect health. Perfect. Top of the morning. Let's do something great today. Health. Never feel bad again. No more migraines. No more knees that are wanting to stay in bed when the other leg gets out. You know, all those things. Yeah, and something else about the aging process. And, you know, I heard this from Pastor Greg at the Harvest Crusade. I thought it was really a good one. You know that you're old when somebody sees you barefooted and says, oh, you got some new alligator shoes. That's not a good one. You have to remember that one. I don't remember a lot of jokes, but that was a good one. Okay, so perfect health. Let's go back to chapter 32. And look at verses 3 and 4. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim. And also another translation, blind. And so your eyes will not go south on you. At age 40, you get your reading glasses. You know, if you've got past 40 and you don't have reading glasses yet, man, you are doing good. Hey, Tim's raising his hand. God bless you, Tim. Doesn't happen to a lot. You are special, man. Then at age 50, you get your bifocals. And then after that, it's the magnifying glass, man. But that's not going to happen. No, the eyes of them that see shall not be dim. The ears of them that hear shall hearken. They shall be able to hear. As you get older, a lot of times the hearing starts going, and that's hard on lots of folks. Now verse 4 says, the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge. Oh my. Those that might have had trouble, thinking process troubles of some kind, the Living Bible actually puts it the heart of a hothead. You know, somebody that's just always not wanting to understand. They're just, but everyone will understand knowledge. And the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. So this is talking about healthy people, healthy without physical problems or mental problems at all. Now with that, let's go to chapter 35. Chapter 35 is the last chapter of the prophecy part of Isaiah in the Old Testament section. Now, the book of Isaiah is made up of 66 books, and it's kind of like a miniature Bible because there's 66 chapters, because there's 66 books in the Bible. And the first 39 chapters kind of correlate with Old Testament teaching and Old Testament things, and then from chapter 40 on, it's like New Testament. Chapter 40 actually includes John the Baptist. Mentions John the Baptist, who is the one that is the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the beginning of the New Testament. And chapter 40, verse 1 says, comfort ye, my people. And so the message is there. Now, at chapter 35, the prophetic part of the book of Isaiah, that's part of the Old Testament section, remember that goes to 39, is over. And so what we get is what it's going to be like in the kingdom, and that's what we're studying today. Now, starting in chapter 36 of Isaiah to 39, the last few chapters of the Old Testament part is history. And it's history that talks about the deliverance of the Lord, King Hezekiah, and the mighty deliverance that God brought to him in saving Jerusalem. So that's what we'll have very soon. But what we're in now in chapter 35 is the culmination of all prophecy, the setting up of the kingdom of Jesus Christ on the earth. So we're looking then at the aging process. We will be experiencing perfect health. 35 verses 3 and 6. Chapter 35, 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6. Now, this is also a prophetic picture of the coming of Jesus. Because remember, Jesus is the kingdom of God. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand, he said when he came preaching first. That you can touch the kingdom of God, you can touch me. And what did he do? He healed the deaf. He healed the blind. He raised up the dead. And showed us a prophetic picture of what the kingdom's going to be like. Let's read verses 5 and 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. So another beautiful picture here of health in the kingdom of God, which Jesus displayed and continues to display, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many in this room have been healed of something? So many of us, yes. Because Jesus, that's right on Cheyenne's shirt right there, Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus heals the sick today. And he does it in such a precious way as he touches us and takes care of us. But here, when the kingdom is come and his will is done completely, there'll be no more sickness at all. This is this awesome blessing of liberty. And we remember the story of the lame man at the gate Beautiful, where it says here, the lame man shall leap like the deer. And Peter and John were coming to pray, and the man was begging for alms. And he said, silver and gold I don't have any, said Peter to him. But such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And the man went running and leaping and praising God. Well, that's going to happen and be true all through the kingdom of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, this really helped me to understand 3 John. So I'd like to turn with you. Keep your hand in chapter 35 of Isaiah, but let's go back to 3 John, which is you get to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and just go backwards two books. Jude, that's Jesus Christ's brother, wrote Jude. His name was Judah. Mary was a virgin, and she had Jesus. But after that, she had brothers and sisters that are listed in our Bibles. And one of them was Jude, and he wrote the book of Jude. So now we go back to John then, the third John. There's three Johns. And so the little third one is right in back of Jude, or right before Jude. And let's take a look at verse 2. When I first read this verse, it was hard on me because I get sick. I've gotten sick, and probably all of us have been sick. But it says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And so we see a wish from the Lord. That's how it is in the King James translation. A wish from the Apostle John that above all things that I would prosper and I would be in health even as my soul prospers. And so I would read that verse and I'd think, Lord, do you really wish that I'm healthy? Then why don't you make me healthy? You know, that kind of thing. I was just having a crisis over this verse. And so with Isaiah, I understand better. With Isaiah, we're looking forward to perfect health. We're looking forward to absolutely never getting another cold. Hallelujah. Can I hear a hallelujah on that one? Hallelujah. Won't have to get a shot for shingles. Glory to God. Or pneumonia. And these kinds of things that because of sin and death being ushered in upon the earth, because of Adam and Eve, and because of our bad decisions like theirs, our planet is a sick planet. And of course, they're talking about now giving 31 vaccinations to our kids. They want to do 31 of all kinds of things that are going crazy in the world because of the world population and sin and death having its toll on the human race. But there's a day a-coming when it's all going to be gone and taken care of. So God's wish will come true for me and for you and for everyone. And so we continue and we ask God for healings, and God heals us. We saw all the hands of the people who've been healed, but sometimes he doesn't. And he knows the reasons. With Job, it was a test to test his faith. For others, it could be that they just have a sick soul. Yeah. It says here that you might be in health as your soul prospers. And you know, I'd like to give you an antidote for a lot of sickness, a special mental sickness. Begin to get into the Word of God. Begin to go through His Word in sincerity and receive the truth. Begin to worship the Lord and receive His joy. The Bible says a merry heart works good like a medicine. It's like taking your pills. You take your merry heart pills and your soul will begin to prosper and you'll just feel better. You just feel better. And so that isn't like something you want to use as a formula or whatever, but just being mindful of that, that God just wants to be close to you and with you, and He'll deal with each one of us according to His will, and we need to trust Him. I'll tell you the truth, I'd rather be on my face in Devastation Alley than to be prideful. The Lord had to give the Apostle Paul what many believe was an oriental eye disease. And he prayed 3 times to be healed of that. And the Lord said that my grace is sufficient for you. And he realized that it was because of the many revelations that he'd received that the Lord needed to give him that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan to buffet him, that he would not become prideful. Because pride is the worst sickness, I believe. You know, and I know when that feeling of pride begins to come, I just get ill sometimes thinking about that. And it's hard to shake. And when you're devastated or you're going through something hard, there's no pride there. You just are humble before the mighty God. And that is a good place to be. So I'd almost rather feel devastated than prideful. And I've said that to the Lord. You know, I really have a problem with that. The Lord made me my special sign. And some of you have heard about it already. It's on the on-ramp, the transition, the carpool transition from 55 to 5. The carpool transition ramp goes up. And you can see Catalina over there from the 55 to the 5. And there's a building there. And the building says Pride Mark. My name is on that building. Every single time I go to church, there it is, Pride Mark. And when I come home, it's also on the other side of the building. I said, Lord, am I that bad? Yes, you're that bad. So I just got to watch it and know it. And I thank God for what He allows in my life to keep me down, keep those levels down. Because you know what happens to a prideful person? The Lord puts them on the shelf. Get put on the shelf. You can't use a prideful person. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so there's many reasons for sickness. And God uses the sickness, but He wishes above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's His wish. And that will come true in the kingdom age. So let's go back now to chapter 35. Chapter 35. And we want to look at the next subject. That's we've given you two things so far, the attributes of the kingdom of God. And number one is that the rule and government will be totally righteous and full of peace. And the second thing we looked at, it'd be no aging there. There'll be no more death, no more dying, no more sorrow, no more crying. For the former things have passed away and all things have become new. The last enemy to be swallowed up by Jesus Christ is death. You'll never die again. No one will ever die again. Praise God. You know what? That's a good argument against evolution. That we're told in the scriptures that sin and death entered in at the fall of man. So there would be no fossil record, no fossil record before Adam and Eve, because there is no death until Adam and Eve sinned. Isn't that a good argument against evolution? Yeah, it is. God made the earth in 7 days, and death did not start until sin entered in. And so that'll be over with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing is we'll have a perfect environment. A perfect environment. Let's look at chapter 35 and verses 1 and 2. Chapter 35 of Isaiah, verses 1 and 2. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. For who? For the people of God. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Or, as other translations have, crocus. And I thought, why in the world would you want to translate rose crocus? You know, that sounds so gross. But, Sherry, my internet machine, she looked up crocus. It's a beautiful flower. And it's really abundant in the Middle East. Comes in different colors, but the one that's pictured on the internet is a lavender. It's very light purple. So very pretty purple, a light purple. And it kind of has petals like a rose, except a little longer, and there's nothing in the middle. It's just kind of a very beautiful flower. So a crocus is good. I like crocus now. Rose or crocus, however you want to translate it. But the deserts are going to bloom. In fact, you know, the Lord's already started on that. There's some cactus in the desert, and Sherry and I found some blooms on an old prickly cactus. Beautiful red flowers springing forth out of the cactus. I was amazed. So much so that we brought the cactus to church here and showed it to the kids at chapel time to see the blooming of that cactus. And so there'll be blooms all over the desert. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. Now here the Lord lists three places that they knew well that are very beautiful. Lebanon is where they got their trees to build the temple, to build David's house, his palace, to build Solomon's house, his palace, the cedars of Lebanon. Sherry and I were blessed to be able to see a cedar of Lebanon, and it was about like this. It looked like a baby redwood, and it was about 100 feet high. Beautiful tree, strong tree. Well, they grow in Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. And so the Lord is using that as an example of how it will be in the kingdom. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellency of Carmel. Now, Carmel, you know, I think of, do we have a Carmel here along the coast? Is that what it's called? That's where your daughter is, right? Carmel. No, above that, below that, around there. Anyway, Carmel is so beautiful that that famous movie star wanted to be the mayor there. And who is that? Clint Eastwood. Yeah, shot a lot of guys in the movies, but he was a nice mayor. Anyway, the excellency of Carmel. Now, Carmel in Israel is a mountain, and it overlooks the Mediterranean, and it's beautiful. Boy, driving up through Carmel, It reminds me of a drive-through Big Bear or one of our treed areas. It's just beautiful, and God thinks it's beautiful too, because he says the excellency of Carmel will be there, and Sharon. And Sherry and I have always been blessed that Sharon is spelled like her name is spelled, S-H-A-R-O-N, Sharon. It's a meadow or a plain. And in Sharon, it's near Caesarea in Israel, the most beautiful things grow. The flowers are world famous. Israel imports flowers around the world from Sharon, and also fruit. And so God is using three of his favorite places to say, this is going to, what's going to be like? Lebanon, Carmel, Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. What a blessing. You know, God has given us a real example of this in the Holy Land. At the Dead Sea, it is really dry and parched. And it's desert all the way down there, I'm telling you. And it just is makes you thirsty, riding in the bus even, to see the, as you're going down to the lowest place on earth. You thought Death Valley was bad. The Dead Sea, the sea is dead. And it's got 33% salt in it, so much that you can't sink. If you can't swim, go to the Dead Sea, because you'll just, you won't sink. You have to force yourself to drown there. It's you just bob like a cork. It's amazing. But anyway, down there, there's a valley called En Gedi. And it is awesome there. It's where David hid out with his men from King Saul. And you can see the caves as you go up this valley and you hike up this beautiful valley. And then you come to these pools where David used to bathe and his men and drink, you know, thinking about bathing and drinking in the same verse, but I don't know, but you know, that's what they did. They had to do that. But anyway, it's just beautiful. And conies live there. Do you ever read in the book of Proverbs, what's a coney? Because it says there's conies. And actually, they're rabbits without ears. And they leap from tree to tree. I kid you not. They're about this big. And they live there in En Gedi. And then the mountain goats are there also that talks about in the Bible in 1 Samuel. And it's just neat to have Bible studies about this. But at the top of this canyon where David used to take his men, there's this waterfall. And you know what? That waterfall looks almost exactly like the waterfall at the end of a hike on the north shore of Maui in Hawaii. Sherry and I, that's our favorite hike in the world. You go past seven pools of water, and you get to this waterfall. It's about 200 feet high. And when we got up at the top of En Gedi, I looked at the guide. Her name was Miriam. I said, Miriam, this looks almost exactly like the waterfall at the end of the most beautiful hike you'd ever take in Maui. And it just hit me. God can make the desert an amazing place, even the greatest wasteland, with this waterfall and these pools that he gave to David to take care of him and his men when they were running for their lives. And I just thought that is so awesome. And he's going to do this worldwide when the kingdom comes. Now, the last thing we want to talk about then is there'll be no more fear there. No more fear. And let's go ahead and read those scriptures. That first of all, we start with chapter 35, verses 3 and 4. And it says, strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Now just think of when you really get scared about something, how your hands just kind of go light on you. Your knees are feeble. They just are knocking or something. Anyway, he says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. He's going to take care of ISIS. He's going to take care of Iran. He's going to take care of North Korea and all their nuclear stuff and all that. And the bad people in the United States. Yep, he's going to do this. He's going to come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense to pay back. He will come to save you. He will come, and this is the reason, to save you. The first time he came to save you. He came to die for your sins on the cross, that you would be sinless. And then he's coming again to save you from this present evil world. This present evil world. It is just amazing to consider how evil people can get. Last week in the news, there was a write-up or whatever, a type-up or whatever you do on the internet with the cloud, talking about how these wicked people are preying on the elderly with phone scams. And there was this one poor woman that was cheated out of $65,000 because of a scam of a guy on the phone. And you go, where do these people, what rocks do they come out of, you know, just to actually do that to elderly people? But that's alive and well on this planet, because this planet is a wicked place to live, this present evil world. But all of that fear will be gone when Jesus comes, as we read in verses 3 and 4. Now, the greatest fear, it might be a surprise to you, but it's the fear of man. It's called peer pressure among the teenagers and something else among all the rest of us. But they actually did a study of the scariest things to people, and I thought it would be the fear of death. But you know what it is? It's the fear of public speaking. And why is that true? Because you never know what they're going to do with what you say. That is so evident in the media. Sherry and I got a personal touch with that. There was a girl in our first Bible study that her mother was a reporter for the Long Beach newspaper. And she said, my mom wants to interview about what's going on in your apartment here and the Bible study and stuff. And so I said, oh, that sounds great. I was still in my 20s, and she came over and interviewed me. And then I was reading in the paper the next day that Mark Bove, my name out there, believes that you're going to hell unless you speak in tongues. I was going, what? What? I was so upset about that. And so I learned firsthand. It really is true. They get it wrong, you know. So the fear of man and the fear of public speaking is really the greatest fear, they say. Well, praise God. Let's look at verse 8. Now there's going to be a highway there in the kingdom and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. There's not going to be anybody that would prey on an elderly person on that highway. Every unclean thought. In fact, we're told in the book of Revelation that nothing that makes an abomination, nothing that tells a lie, not even a little white lie, they're called, but the lie is a lie, that will walk there. Those that are written in the Lamb's book of life will be on that highway. Nothing that shall be unclean shall pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools upon the earth have now been saved, shall not err there. There won't be any more errors. It would be impossible to go astray there in the heavenly kingdom. And this is so great, because what's that take away in fear, the fear factor, the fear of man? I will be convinced that my brother that's walking with me on that highway would never do me wrong, would never take a piece of information and twist it to some other person. Poor Pastor Chuck, he has been so quoted incorrectly through the years. You just go, oh man, they're doing it again to him, you know. Oh, it's just, people just are bad. And if they don't like you, you're really in trouble. And so you can understand the fear of man. You can understand it. But see, in heaven, in the kingdom, there'll be no more of that. No, no more of that. You'll just know that everyone has your best interest in mind. That they will be, as we read that verse 2 in chapter 32 of Isaiah, a hiding place from the wind for you. A rock in a hot place to give you shade. That's what the government will be like. That's what everyone will be like. And it is awesome and beautiful under the control of Jesus Christ. And so the fear of man will be gone. Now the fear of animals. Now verse 9 says this. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And so the lion that would eat you, did you know the Dr. Livingston, I presume? You know, you've heard of him. He's buried at Westminster Abbey in England. He was a missionary in Africa, but he was actually attacked by a lion, and the Lord saved him from the lion's mouth. And I thought that was interesting. But anyway, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Now let's look at chapter 11, verse 6 on this. Let's just go to chapter 11, verse 6 in Isaiah. It just kind of enlarges on this idea of how safe it will be to hike anywhere. Do you ever see the mountain lion warnings about some of the wilderness areas up here in the hills? Anyway, they have those. And there's been some that have been attacked by mountain lions, actually, up here. Sherry and I ran into a mountain lion at Carbon Canyon Park. We walked to the back. There's a stand of redwood trees there. You can see they're beautiful. But we walked around the corner, and there was a mountain lion sitting at the lunch bench, waiting to have us for lunch, right at the lunch bench. And he was looking up in the trees at the birds like this. And we saw him, and we just silently slipped off backwards, you know, and got out of there. But, you know, there'll be no more of that fear. No. Let's read this. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the baby goat. Imagine that. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. You can just let your three-year-old, man, there'll be people born during the kingdom age, your three-year-old walk up to a lion and go, "Hi, baby big cat," grab him by the mane and walk him, lead him. That's going to be awesome. He'll probably say, "Hello, little child, how are you?" And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. So there's no danger of being eaten anymore. And the suckling child, now this is the one that's not weaned yet, shall play on the hole of the snake. Now we have a little fear of rattlesnakes in our area up in the desert, you know. We actually heard a rattlesnake once when I started climbing a pile of rocks. I had to get out of there. But a suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp or the snake, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockroach's den or on the hole of where the snakes live. And so this is a great lack of fear of your environment, a great lack of fear from man, and you just be safe. And you can just do and go on any hike that you want to with no fear. I remember we went on a surfing trip when the kids were small to Pismo Beach. And when we got there, nobody, zero people in the water. And we're wondering why. And somebody on the beach told us that they sighted a 25-foot white shark from the pier the day before. And so everybody's out of the water. And I'm thinking, oh, man. And Josh was so disappointed. He's in fourth grade. And he looked at me and said, "Dad, God has control over the animals. Let's just go surfing." And so I had a fatherly decision to make right there. And I'm going, wow, what do you say, you know? And I didn't think of the scripture, but we don't want to tempt God. That's a good scripture to use in that situation. But instead I said, okay, Josh, let's go. And we went in the water. And we were out up to our chest, you know, and so forth, and in the water. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I heard the music. Dent, 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 dent. And I said, Josh, we got to get out of here. No more of that. No more fear. No more fear. It's over. Okay, let's just end with verse 10 of chapter 35 of Isaiah. Okay, and this verse is also a song, and Sherry's going to come up, and we're going to teach you the song. Now it says, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a verse, huh? What a promise. You're going to have everlasting joy upon your head. And that's the worst place, isn't it? I mean, the devil really plays with your brain, doesn't he? And all the stuff you get in trouble with when you wake up in the morning and think about bad things, it all comes from your head. That's why we need the helmet of salvation. And so everlasting joy shall be upon our heads. We shall obtain joy and gladness. This is the emotion of the kingdom that we will have in a continual way. We'll need new bodies to stand it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your word. It's so encouraging. And Lord, we know that you came to bring examples of your kingdom, to work kingdom things into our lives. And yes, Lord, heal us and take care of our needs even now. And Lord, we're looking so forward to the fruition of the fruitful vine and all that you're bringing. We thank you, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen, amen. If you would desire a prayer for anything, the prayer room's open for you. May the Lord bless you. Just give you a great day in Him. God bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. Receive the peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.